Hi, today is December 1st, 2019. This is Mobile View's podcast 309. I'm Pat Acosta Ward, my good friend John Westfall, and I don't hear an echo. Let's see if I can hear John.
Well, that's good. Either there is no echo or you've just blocked it out.
Yeah, I can hear John, and I don't hear an echo. So the trick was, it turns out, to actually follow my original instructions, which I fortunately wrote down in Google Keep. And that was after it hits the peak RMS filter to go to goes to a channel. Instead of making the channel mono, just say duplicate right, and there we go. I don't have any echo this week. Yay. So follow your own directions. That's the lesson I learned. And that because that's exactly what I had on my previous MacBook, my MacBook Air. And I thought I'd be smart and, you know, make some modifications to make it better. No.
Yeah, it's always bad to try to overthink these things. Yeah. But.
Okay. Now this one, first up item. Oh, I should mention we're going to rush through this because John has to go somewhere right after this podcast. Thing I'm kind of curious about is because I think John still subscribes to Apple News Plus. So Apple is offering a 3-month free trial in the U.S. and Canada. By the time you hear this, it may be too late to take advantage of it. This Thanksgiving weekend in the U.S. Mm-hmm. To get Apple News Plus free for 3 months. Normally, it's, I think, $10 a month. So, John, is it worth it? I mean, I didn't take advantage of it. It might be too late.
It's normally $10.69 a month. That's, you know, with tax.
Okay.
It's weird. Ever since I subscribed to it, I do go to Apple News more. I find myself going to Apple News and Reddit, but I don't know which one has the more accurate information most of the time. But you know, it gives me some interesting different viewpoints, and. The weird thing is I don't often hit the Apple Plus button in Apple News Plus, I guess what I'm paying for. But I also don't know how many of the articles I'm reading through just the regular news interface are through Apple News Plus that I would get with that versus going in. I will say that I do, when I do remember to hit that button, I very much enjoy reading, and this is going to make me sound 100 years old, but I really enjoy reading Reader's Digest. I do go in there, and I have probably read every Reader's Digest since I have gotten News Plus, at least the sections that I really enjoy. So, you know, that is beneficial. I do go through and use it. I think I get my money's worth out of it, but it's a good question with Apple services, how much you're getting your money's worth out of. In fact, this week, my wife got an early Christmas present in a pair of AirPods Pro.
Nice.
And now she's talking about how she's going to use Apple Music a lot more. And I've been paying for the family membership for Apple Music for a while. So I'm glad that more than just myself will use it. So it really is one of those things where you have to remember you are paying for certain services. And then you usually do enjoy them. But I like News Plus. I guess it's worth $10 a month.
Okay. I guess there's still a few hours left in the weekend, so I could jump on it if I'm so interested. I will note that I don't have Apple News Plus, and I do use Apple News because I get the little, you know, news alert snippets in the sidebar and so forth. And there's been a number of times where I've clicked on a link and only to discover it's an Apple News Plus source. So I couldn't actually read more than the first sentence. But you know what? It didn't. None of that has ever swayed me to actually pay $10 a month.
Well, I would look through the magazine selection and see if there's just one or two magazines you might want to read through each month. And if that's the case, you might find that it's valuable enough just on that level.
So. Yeah. Hey, which reminds me, John. So when you have a chance, completely different topic. When you have a chance, take a listen to last week's podcast and this one. And let me know what you think of the audio quality, especially for your voice. I did not do any volume leveling. So
okay.
Because, you know, I can't run Levelator on here. I thought about taking it to another device, like a Windows device, to do it. But I just was too lazy. And I thought it sounded okay. So
Okay. Give
me a thought. I think I also increased our volume because our volumes are a little bit low. And Levelator used to actually take care of that automatically. So anyway, let me know what you think. Okay. Next up, this is something I ran into. And I'm just calling it USB charger finickiness. And it's really not the charger that's at fault. So I now have a couple of large USB-C devices, and by large I mean laptops. So I've got a couple of Chromebooks and a MacBook Pro and Windows device, all that can be charged via USB-C. the only device that won't charge with my 60-watt USB-C powered PD power distribution port is my first Chromebook, the Samsung Chromebook Plus, which only has a 30-watt draw requirement. On the other hand, the MacBook Pro 13 has a 61-watt draw requirement, and I was wondering if, you know, my 60-watt port would be within tolerance, and it is. I can charge my MacBook Pro, but the 30-watt Samsung Chromebook Plus, nope. So I wrote a little snippet on Medium that I posted called Samsung USB Plus V1 USB Charger Finickiness, and with the error message I get, well, the error warning message I get that, you know, it may not charge while I'm using the device and so forth and so on. But I'm annoyed.
Really annoyed. Yeah, you know, and USB-C, it's that double-edged sword. It's what I would think of as the most awesome abilities of USB-C, and then they don't always work.
Yeah, but 3 out of 4 so isn't bad.
As Meatloaf would say.
That's right. I forget how the song goes now, but I know what you're referring to. But it's still nice to be able to not have a bazillion different chargers I need to pull out. You know, just have one USB-C PD port plugged in, and whatever I'm using, I just plug it into that, except for the Samsung Chromebook Plus, which is a shame because I still really like that device. But anyway, so your mileage may vary. And I bought a, what is this thing called? It's a TechNet, spelled kind of funny. TechNet, something like that. If I recall correctly, I bought, instead of the usual anchors I buy, because A, it's cheaper than the anchor device, and B, it actually was the winner, if you will, the choice, editor's choice, over in Wirecutter, you know, who I think does some pretty good picks. So it's like 30-something bucks versus 60 bucks for the anchor device. All right, the next one I'm not sure John is any interest in, but I found kind of interesting. I just don't know what I'm looking at. And that is The Verge has an article about Microsoft now has turned Outlook.com into a progressive web app. And what that means is you can essentially install it as a web application right on your desktop. You click it and it pops up a separate window. It looks like an application, looks like a native application versus a web browser, basically to take away the Chrome from the outside. And it's supposed to, I'm just reading from the Verge article now, there's still websites but include better caching, notification features, and background functionality to make them appear more like traditional apps. So I installed it on a Windows 10 notebook. You know, there's a little plus button at the kind of the top of your top right area of the Outlook.com browser window, and it asks you if you really want to install it, and you say yes, and then there's a little icon that appears in the desktop called Outlook, and you click it, and for the life of me, it looks exactly like the web browser version, except, you know, without the site, the surrounding Chrome. So is it better? I don't know. I don't use Outlook all that much, to be honest. I think, John, you use Outlook a lot, right?
I use Outlook, the desktop app. I don't use the web interface that often. But, you know, so I'll talk a little bit about my adventures with my Raspberry Pi 4 in a few minutes. Okay. But that is where I think I would really enjoy this, because when you're on a Linux operating system, web apps are much more useful to you sometimes when there is no native app. So I do like anything. In fact, I'm going to pull up Outlook on my Raspberry Pi right now and see if I get the prompt.
All right, real-time experimentation. Let me find
curious about that, because I pulled it up in Safari before the podcast and I did not get any sort of prompt, but on my Raspberry Pi I'm using Firefox, so I'll see if Firefox gives me any sort of
And while John's doing that, I should note here, also added a note to our show notes that Forbes and Pinterest and a couple other sites also do progressive
I did a little bit of research to figure out what this progressive web app thing was, and that's what I found, was that there's a few others that are doing it, but they're not as many as you might think. This sort of reminds me of when Google used to do offline mode for Gmail, and then the whole idea of what you could do with HTML5 in terms of offline caching. So maybe this is just that next evolution up. But I have my Outlook inbox open on the Pi, and I do not see any sort of prompt for...
There's no plus sign anywhere?
No plus signs, but...
Okay. So that's what you're looking for. So on your browser, in my case, I used Chrome. on a Windows box. There's a bunch of Chrome web apps that are installed for your browser, and to the left of the star, which indicates a favorite, there's a plus sign. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking. In fact, I should try it here since we're doing real time experimentation. So I'm going to go to Outlook, and I am logged in. And hey, wait a minute. Oh no, I see it. Yeah. Okay, so I'm on a Mac, and as I said, I tested it on a Windows 10 box first. On my Mac, I see the plus sign right next to the star, which indicates bookmark this tab. Sorry, not favorites. So the left of the bookmark this tab star, there's a plus sign that if I hover over it, says install Outlook. So there you go. And I see Costco. I haven't read my Outlook email in a while. I see Costco has a wholesale today on winter footwear. There you go. A little commercial Costco. Costco, if you want to kick in some bucks to me and John, please feel free.
Oh, yeah. We'll take that. We'll talk about Costco a lot.
It is my favorite store, Costco, but anyway. Okay.
So yeah, it can be my favorite store, too, for a very reasonable amount of money.
That's right. Do you even have a Costco near you, John?
No. But I will lie and say that I go there all the time.
Well, you couldn't use your online app purchasing, too.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, John, lives at a largish university.
Yeah, a large or medium-sized regional university, but we don't have anything around us, really.
There's no Apple Store, there's no Costco, and no Starbucks, I think. Is that right?
Not a real Starbucks. We now have a brewed by Starbucks, which is the same as what you get like a Barnes & Noble cafe. Okay. But
I've never heard of a college campus with no Starbucks. It must be very interesting.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's always a coffee shop. It's just not a Starbucks.
Which is fine, right? We should support our local business. All right. So PWAs, I don't know. I don't go to Outlook enough to, but I installed it just for the heck of it. Looks okay. Might use it before. Okay. A couple other things before John tells us about his Raspberry Pi 4. I have an item for Raspberry Pi right after this. But one other thing that I have on the show notes is I happen to be checking through Google's blog, blog.google, and I learned that Google Earth for web has a new creation tool, so you can do what they call stories. And those of you who use Esri, the high-end GIS company's software, knows they've had something for a couple of years now called Story Maps, which started off as a way to tell a story, a narrative about GIS data. You know, what's here, what did you do, what historical items, that sort of, whatever you want in your story. And more recently, they created something called Esri Hub. Well, it looks like Google Earth for Web now lets you do the same thing. I think the one weird thing about Google Earth for Web, if you go to earth.google.com/web, is the first thing it does is do a long, long forced animation about what it is, and there seems you can't click through it or anything, which is kind of annoying. But anyway, okay. So the one thing I wanted to know, let's see, what do I want to tell John? I can't remember the details, but since I've been thinking about getting a Raspberry Pi 4 myself, I read somewhere that there is a problem that Wi-Fi stops working if you use, I think if you display 4K or something like that. While John talks, I'll go look it up.
I'm not doing any 4K, so I'm not really sure about that. I've had it running, for 2 or 3 days at a time, and Wi-Fi's always been rock stable on it. Mm-hmm. So I have not experienced any Wi-Fi problems with it. So I did get it up and running with, connection over USB-C to my iPad, so mm-hmm. I can hook it up and power it straight off of there. I can also join the iPad's tethered internet connection, which is nice to get it internet. There might be a way to do that over USB-C, but I'd have no idea what it would be. So right now when I do it, I just have to go through the tethered iPad shared connection, which incidentally was much easier to do through the GUI through X11 window versus trying to do it over IW list and all the command line stuff. So there's a weird issue with where the iPhone and iPad put in an apostrophe S for your SSID by default, which throws off, I think, the configuration. But whatever, got it up and running. Yeah, I was very happy about that. And then got a, you know, Firefox window in it and a few other cool things. And now I don't know what to really do with it. it works. It does everything that it's supposed to be doing. I did get a case that has this little fan in it. And this little fan is a little bit loud. I don't know if you can hear it through my... you know, it's loud enough that you notice it in a room.
Sure.
With the fan, it runs at about 40 C. Without the fan, it runs 50, yeah, without the fan, it runs 60 to 70. And they say that there's danger above 80 C with a Raspberry Pi. So I can unplug the fan quite easily. You can just kind of open the case, and the case just snaps open. And I do have heat sinks on the chips. So I've run it with and without the fan. I guess it's probably better to run it with the fan, but geez, I hate the noise on it. I could do a little bit of a hack and control the fan through the GPIO ports, but I'd have to buy a couple of resistors and do a little bit of soldering to kind of connect up the way it should go. But I don't know. For now, it just sort of runs with or without the fan, depending on how I feel like it that day. And yeah, I've been playing around with it, but I really don't know what to do with it other than it will travel with me, because if I do run into a situation where someone needs files copied, or hey, get the things off this drive, or you know, those sorts of things, this does make it a little easier with four USB ports to, you know, take an external drive or an external USB drive and suck it onto the SD card. Or
does it come with four USB ports, or did you add that
on? Nope. Wow. There are four USB ports on the floor built in.
Wow.
Yeah, if you know, you had the original and I have the original. If you kind of compare the ports on the original to the new one, you know, the original had a couple of analog outputs, whereas the new one really just has a 3.5 millimeter jack. The original had two USB ports and Ethernet.
Right.
The Raspberry Pi 4 has the four USB ports
and Ethernet.
Yeah, what else? Oh, yeah, and on the side of the original, you had simply HDMI, and now on the Raspberry Pi 4, you have two mini HDMIs and the 3.5 millimeter and the USB-C. So,
can you power off USB-C?
Yes, it does power off USB-C, and that's how it actually is powered, is through USB-C.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I've been enjoying playing with it. I just need to figure out more what I want to do with it.
Right. And for those of us who can't convert centigrade or Celsius to centigrade Fahrenheit in our heads, 40 degrees Celsius is 104, 60 degrees Celsius is 140, and 80 degrees is 176. So that's pretty darn hot.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm one of those people that if I could run it without a fan, I probably would, but I probably should run it with a fan.
Yeah, yeah. So
I will find something to do with it, but I just since I'm not as big into programming as I used to be, and all of my Linux work generally revolves around server stuff, and I'm on a command line much more than actually using GNOME or KDE. It's sort of like a toy right now, but I'll find something useful for it, I'm sure.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to do a Raspberry Pi mini hackathon between the two of us or something.
Well, I'm thinking I might just throw it in my work bag because it's not very big.
Yeah,
and just see what I end up doing with it.
Yeah,
you know.
And you know, if you switch to a USB-C, oh wait, did you buy a new phone?
No.
Okay. Well, actually, the new phone isn't USB-C, but your iPad is, right?
Yes, it is.
So yeah, so see, you can buy a port and. You can do a dual USB-C and power both of them now. But at any rate, so I did find the article about the Raspberry Pi 4 Wi-Fi problems. It is related to using HDMI video output at QHD, which is 1440p. And apparently it causes the Wi-Fi to stop working. It jams the Wi-Fi when you do that. And this is because the RF frequency is the same as Wi-Fi channel 1. So I guess the solution is to change channel? Adjust a router to use 2.4 gigahertz at 4 or above. So there you go, folks. Don't use stuff at your default channel. All right. And Black Friday has come and gone. Cyber Monday is still ahead of us. John, did you find anything?
You know, that was the other thing that I was a little bit disappointed with this time. I did not find anything that I thought was all that interesting on Black Friday. So I just sort of did a little bit of regular shopping and found a few things for Christmas gifts that were at the same price as they normally would be. But I did not find, I did look around quite a bit yesterday and Friday looking for cool deals and didn't really find anything that I thought was useful. So
I have to say, I'm pretty much in the same boat. I think the only thing I found was a SanDisk 256 gigabyte SD, or probably a mini SD card, that I plan to use to back up my Windows 10 notebook. You know, I'm just going to stick an SD port in a slot, rather, and just let it back up to it automatically or something. But other than that, same boat, didn't find anything.
Weird, because last year I found a bunch of, you know, services, really, last year. So this year it was just a lot of, you know, junk I already have, so I didn't really feel the need to get it.
Because, John, you have everything. You need nothing more.
You know, sometimes I feel like a horrible geek because it's very frequently that I look at stuff and go, yeah, I'm okay with what I have now.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. All right, so before we sign off and let John go to his next adventure, hope everyone had a happy Thanksgiving. I guess a lot of people got caught in storms. John, any storms out in your part? Nothing here. It was pretty nice.
No. Yeah, it was pretty good here. It did drop a little bit yesterday. We were in the 70s yesterday, and now we're back down to the 50s.
Oh, you're down in the 70s.
I know. I was talking with a friend of mine who was driving through Indiana yesterday evening, and he had no sympathy for me at all, as it was very slushy and annoying for him. So. Yeah.
I can imagine. I can only imagine. Alrighty. So this is a short one this time. Let's see what 23 minutes. And after we cut out the little silences, I don't know if people notice this, but you know, I use Audacity's silence truncator to cut out the silence, little moments of silence between John and me, and Jay and me too. And I do Comics Use podcast, and it cuts out about 4% of the total time. Yeah, you know, little pauses we have that are slightly extended. I thought it'd speed up the podcast for people a bit without having to actually speed up the way we talk. Anyway, that's it. Mobile Use Podcast 309, short one. We'll let John get back on the road. We'll talk to you next time.